If you like what you watch, then don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter for the latest updates on The More Show. Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel for new weekly television and radio shows.
And views expressed on The More Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Moore, The More Show, or this radio station and its affiliates or sponsors.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The More Show, which is sponsored by the UFO Matrix magazine. On today's show, I'm about to be joined by my guest, Kerry Cassidy. Now, Kerry has a BA in English and an MBA certification from the UCLA Anderson Graduate School of Management. After 19 years in Hollywood working for major studios and independent production companies in production, development and new media, Kerry has written a number of screenplays and started work on her own UFO documentary. In 2006, Kerry started work on Project Camelot, which allows whistleblowers to come forward and tell their stories. Kerry Cassidy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Now, Kerry, just tell us a bit about your work to begin with.
Okay, well, the way it started is I guess you would call me a frustrated filmmaker, and I was working in Hollywood trying to package sci-fi projects, doing a great deal of research on the internet in the areas of black projects, conspiracies, you name it, and putting that into also my own screenplays and trying to shop those around Hollywood. And I got the rights to what's called wingmakers.com to do to package a movie based on that. It's sort of a cult website, and has a background which is a whistleblower, which is a scientist on the run from a black project, meaning a top secret government project. And that's what the Wingmaker's story, the background story, is all about, and how he gets in contact with a race from far out in the universes, and how they were our sort of, you might say our progenitors, and so on. So at any rate, what happens is I got the right to the project and I began shopping it around Hollywood, and I had connections with major agencies and so on, and was able to get to people like the story person for Steven Spielberg and Kathleen Kennedy and Ridley Scott, James Cameron, and so on. And across the board was getting rejected. And what was interesting is that wingmakers.com had a huge cult following, had been on the internet for, at that point, I think maybe something like maybe 5-6 years. And it was very, very well loved as a multimedia website, and perhaps you're familiar with it.
Yes.
But at any rate, sort of striking out there, I became pretty frustrated, and I decided to go out and make my own UFO documentary. So I picked up a consumer-grade camcorder. I started going around to UFO conferences, and I had the bright idea of interviewing the speakers, just kind of doing a guerrilla-style interview where I put the camera in their face, and I asked them if they'd seen a UFO. And there's a short now on the Project Camelot website under shorts that you can view that shows you what I came up with. At the time, I was very, successful, unexpectedly so, and I had a great rapport with the various speakers and so on. And at that time, I met up with my then-to-be partner in Project Camelot, Bill Ryan, who was a webmaster writer who had volunteered to document and put all these letters from a source called Anonymous regarding the Serpo project. It was Serpo.org. I think Project Serpo.org is the formal name of the website now. And originally, it was part of a news group that was getting releases from this DIA source, as it happened, Defense Intelligence Agency, for those not in the know. And they were doing releases about an alien human exchange program that supposedly happened back in the 1960s. So these releases were being put on this news group. Bill Ryan volunteered to create a website. He did so. He did so very well, and in kind of became a sort of front man for the Defense Intelligence Agency release of this information, although it was never formally acknowledged by them that they were involved. And so during that time, I connected with Bill, seeing his name as being associated with the Serpo.org project. So I contacted him for an interview as part of my guerrilla filmmaking thing, and went to Laughlin in Las Vegas to the UFO conference there a year in 2006 and interviewed him. We hit it off, and then I went to Egypt because my mother had passed on, and I got a small inheritance with William Henry and Jordan Maxwell, both very well-known names in this sector, in search of Atlantis and the signs of Atlantis in Egypt. On the way back, Bill promised to show me this sort of power places in England. So we visited Stonehenge and other places of megaliths, including a place called Tintagel. And Tintagel is one of the former homes, supposedly, of King Arthur. When I went there for the first time, I had a lot of past life recall coming in, which was something that did happen to me from time to time in various places when I would visit them around the world. And Bill had some sense of a past life recall there, but not as clear as mine. And basically what happened is we really hit it off. We decided to create Project Camelot right then and there, inspired by the King Arthur Roundtable, and a place where people would come gather, and basically the Knights of the Roundtable all on sort of one level, rather not a hierarchical power structure, and basically based around truth.
Okay.
So we wanted disclosure. We wanted to bring truth to the people. And so from there, we just never looked back. We created the website. We started going out around the world doing interviews with truth tellers, people from Black Projects, and were hugely successful.
Okay, so what still drives you now to keep going?
Well, you know, there's always more truth to be told, obviously, and we call it revealing the big picture, going down the rabbit hole. We're actually at a very exciting juncture in that trajectory, if you will, because right now, as you may know, there are a lot of secrets being revealed across the board in all aspects of society, WikiLeaks being one of the prime examples of where documents are coming to the surface. Now, some of these are being released, believe it or not, by intelligence agencies and so on purpose, partly because there is a huge gap that exists between what is in essence a rogue humanity that has now almost separated itself from the mainstream humanity and is involved in, as I say, these Black Projects. There's a secret space program. They're going off-world on a regular basis, and they're establishing colonies in places like underground on Mars and the Moon, etc.
So you really believe that there are secret space programs, and, you know, we are already out there and colonizing other planets?
Yes. Believe it or not, we are. Based on our whistleblower testimony, now you can evaluate the interviews by watching our videos, because our style is to put the camera really without formality in front of the person, to ask them questions and to talk with them for mostly around 2 hours. It's not a soundbite type of interview. It's not edited. I don't take out their testimony unless there is some legal ramification with naming a name or some kind of something like that. But by and large, what you see is what you get. And it's a great way to evaluate body language, determine for yourself whether the truth of what they say is resonating. And we basically become rather famous for doing this.
Right. So, okay, so if I sum this up then, Kerry, you're an investigator and documentary journalist, and you're collecting witness testimony. Now, you've just mentioned some extremely amazing, facts there. Well, your truth regarding, offshore space programs. But just getting back to some of these witness testimonies, what's some of the more interesting people that you've interviewed for witness testimonies? And also, do they approach you? I mean, how are you finding these people?
Well, it's a very fascinating process in and of itself, and we've been in operation for about 5.5 years at this point, and I have to say that we've become something of experts at evaluating even an email correspondence from a so-called whistleblower, because there is a profile that you can begin to decipher and determine whether the person contacting you really is legitimate. Even by easy kind of signs that you can start to tell. One of the things about whistleblowers from Black Projects, obviously, is that they're often doing this secretly or doing it somewhat covertly, that they don't want the government to know, or they are trying to protect themselves and their families for some reason, et cetera. So oftentimes they will contact us and they will be very careful about the contact. They will not reveal a great deal in the beginning. They will test us out by giving us a little bit of information or questioning us in certain ways. It's a very interesting process. And then we tend to get to know them quite well. Sometimes we spend, months getting to know them. Sometimes we get documentation, but usually documentation can be falsified. So we don't rely on documentation. We do what intel agencies would call something like triangulation. In other words, if they tell us something and we get that information somewhere else, two other sources coming to us completely unconnected from different directions, oftentimes that will end up to be something that is very likely, for example. As far as how do they come to us, they come to us in many, many different ways, sometimes through other connections, sometimes directly through an email that they just, as I say, write to us. And then we get in touch with them that way. Sometimes they come up to us at conferences and quietly speak to us and so on. So it can be in a myriad of ways. As far as some of the more amazing people that have approached us,
yeah,
or we've gotten in contact with, one of which we would call Henry Deacon. He's probably one of our premier whistleblowers of all time. He eventually did come out under his own name, although now he's gone in hiding again. and his true name is Arthur Neumann. And he's on our website. And one of the ways to find especially some of the earlier testimony is by going to what's called the Camelot Library and using the drop-down menu on the right-hand side and just going by name. We have well over 200 hours of video and audio testimony. I also have a weekly radio show on American Freedom Radio. So I'm constantly sort of expanding what we're doing here and interviewing new people all the time.
Right. And I mean, are you in danger for some of these releases of information? I mean, why are you allowed to, host these kind of videos on your site with apparently, as you say, whistleblowers? Why do you think?
Well, what happens is it's a very interesting double-edged sword. So you can appreciate that the government and intelligence agencies and covert projects, if they were to come and tell us we couldn't do it, then they would have to be admitting that the person was a legitimate whistleblower. So we're in this strange gray area where if they hassle us or they make a big deal about the whistleblower that we're in contact with, publicly that is, then in essence it's like saying that's legitimate. So they can't admit the person is really a whistleblower because they'd be admitting the project was true, really a real project. So it's a catch-22 that they're in. And on the other hand, the way they do deal with it is to harass us in a multiple of ways. And one of the ways is to obviously attack our website. And we've had many what are called denial of service attacks and so on our servers. And especially whenever I'm going to interview somebody or doing, even when I'm on a Skype phone call with somebody, I will get ridiculous interference and echoes and bizarre stuff going on, and the calls will be dropped repeatedly. And basically what it means is the intelligence agencies are listening in. They don't want the person to say what they're saying. There's a certain release of information that's being allowed. And what I've been told and what we've been told repeatedly is that if they didn't want us doing what we do, they would have stopped us a long time ago. They either would have killed us or eliminated the situation in some form or fashion. But they do allow it. We play by the rules to a certain extent in that we're not overtly breaking laws, just as the whistleblowers from Black Projects who come out and are released under various auspices, be they a medical release or whether they actually are violating their security oath and they do it publicly like Bob Dean. Robert O'Dean, who is interviewed several times on our website, is very, very well known in the UFO circuit as a military commander who came forward. He worked at SHAPE headquarters back during World War Europe and come across a very, very classified document that was given to him by one of his superiors. They brought him inside. He is part of the Old Boys Network. They allow him to release information, but he's very, very careful. So he's always treading a line. And there is a network within the secret agencies and secret societies that wants a certain amount of disclosure to happen. And it's been happening just like all this, you know, the movies like Spielberg, there were leaks. So that when Spielberg made Close Encounters, for example, and so on. To get the rest of humanity up to speed, it's this disclosure process, you may say, has been escalating for the past 3-4 years so that there's a great deal more information out there all the time and being released and being allowed to be released.
And how many sort of hearts and minds do you think you're making a difference to? I mean, how many people are you re-educating as such?
Well, we have millions of visitors to our sites every month, and it's always growing. For example, I have 39,000 subscribers to my YouTube video channel. So every time I release a video, 39,000 people get notification that, you know, there's a new Camelot video out there. Average videos get, you know, viewers that go into the, you know, 100,000s, 200,000s, that sort of thing. You know, like I said, we're growing our sort of populace, our audience all the time. And, I mean, obviously we're not the only site doing this and we're not the only people doing this. So there's been a large movement for quite some time in this direction. In fact, I guess you might be familiar with Stephen's I'm sorry, the Disclosure Project.
Stephen Bassett, yeah.
Yeah. He you know, that's been out there for, what was out there in the early, like 2000, I think it was, or something like 2001 at the latest. It didn't go very far. Stephen Greer, actually, is his name.
Sorry, yeah.
So that's okay. But at any rate, you know, he went to a certain point, he released a book, and then he had done video, videoing of his witnesses, but he didn't release it back then, and that kind of stalled. So when we picked up the camera, what we did that was different than what had been done before was that I'm a filmmaker and editor, so I basically use my Mac editing software and do all the editing work. And, you know, we have problems with lighting and sound, and they would zap our cameras constantly, you know, interfering with scalar weaponry, with various witness testimonies. People think that a lot of the technical problems we have is because we're inept. actually, it's because we're constantly dealing with interference from, because there are divisions, as I say, of the intelligence agencies that want this out there, and there are divisions that don't, and they're fighting among themselves. And so we have support, and we also have people that are sort of after us.
Okay, so let's get into some of your work now. What's going on behind the scenes? Tell us about what you've researched on the ET wars as such.
Okay, well, I mean, there's a huge amount of stuff. I mean, first of all, there is a very strong indication that the Anunnaki are in charge of the Earth here. There are many ET races that are visiting the planet at this time. In my view, we are all made up of various ET races, various ET DNA, if you will. We've been genetically engineered through the ages to be where we are today. Each of us probably represents a number. Each individual, for example, may have as many as 20 different strains or more of ET, what you might call ET DNA. Originally, we are from the stars. We are ETs, if you will. We came to the planet from other galaxies, and we were also genetically modified since the time we got here. There, of course, everything I say has huge controversy around it in different points of view, but I'm just simply giving you what we've learned from our witnesses and from our investigations. And so that's the basic sort of backbone of the entire story, and that's what's going on here. We've got a race to create from within Black Projects a super soldier program, a super human program that involves what you might call humanity 2.0. That is what a lot of what they do is all centered around genetics and upgrading the human so that we can go out and terraform other planets, so that we can compete, if you will, for control of galaxies, et cetera, with other ET races. So we can augment our intelligence, our physicality, our lifespan, you name it. We've also been dumbed down in some of the genetic experimentation that's happened through the ages. And Zachariah Sitchin's work with the Anunnaki information, originally coming from the Sumerian tablets, is, of course, groundbreaking in this area. Some people don't believe that he was accurate. I happen to believe a lot of what he came across was accurate. Whistleblowers such as Bob Dean, Henry Deacon, and others have verified this information, for example. There's a great deal of secrecy around the various bloodlines. The Illuminati are working with a certain faction of the Anunnaki, in my view, some of them knowingly, some of them don't have any idea. It depends what level need to know, what layer of the onion, for so to speak, they're on.
Again, for the audience that doesn't know, I mean, the Illuminati, how would you class them?
Okay, well, the Illuminati are basically made up of what are known as the very wealthy families that go across the globe, but are the main sort of divisions would be known as the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. The Rockefellers and the Rothschilds are often at odds with each other. So they agree on some things, they don't agree on everything. They are running different factions of different countries, different areas of the globe. But they are ultimately above them is, as I say, off-planet controllers. And this is where the issues kind of come to the fore as to who you're dealing with. And I'm sure you're familiar with David Icke and his work in regard to the reptilians and so on.
Okay, so your work focuses on the ET issue as such, but who's really controlling us, and how long have they been controlling us? Are we talking about one race or many? Or?
Well, that's just the point. As a matter of fact, there are many races, as I said, visiting this planet and that are and have been involved throughout time in genetically interfering with our races. And so you have things like the Pleiadians, who are well known, Nordics from Orion, as well as Grays, which are handling a lot of the genetic manipulation through abductions, or did through the last, say, 10, 20, 40 years, but seem to have sort of stopped to some degree now, although I'm sure there are divisions that are still going interfering with that. They're working with the U.S. military. They're working with different factions in the military in Britain and other planets, I mean, other countries, sorry. And so who's controlling us? Like I said, the main race that seems to be in control of the Earth at this time is probably the Anunnaki, a division of the Anunnaki. And there is a sort of, the story goes back to Enlil and Enki, and two divisions of the Anunnaki, one that was sympathetic to humanity and possibly more on the light side, if you will, the other side, which is run by Enlil, which is more the service to self group. There is some information that there is a returning group that will be part of Marduk, and that the Illuminati are involved in all of this. And some secret societies know what I'm talking about very, very well. And things like Skull and Bones, secret societies, and black magicians that are very operational in places like the UK, Ireland, Scotland, etc., and probably worldwide for that matter. These people are aware of, some of them, of the backstory, if you will, of what's really going on the planet. At the same time, you have humans here on Earth who have risen to places of power using money and their bloodline, et cetera, et cetera. And they've established not only great wealth, but they've gotten involved in developing a very sophisticated military machine that has gone off-planet, that has decided that most people on planet didn't have a right to know the truth about their heritage or what was really going on. And so they've been lied to repeatedly. NASA is a front agency. For more information on that, you should read Richard Hoagland's book, which I forget the name of it, but many people will be very familiar with Richard C. Hoagland. And you can go to enterprisemission.com. To get the name of the book and to read it. It's all about the secrecy and what NASA is covering.
I believe it was called Dark Mission.
That's correct.
Okay, so obviously what you've talked about there, you know, is in a sense quite negative, but there must be a positive side to this as well. There's always a good and bad, so where's the good in all this?
Oh, well, I mean, I think it's very positive to know that we are actually combinations of various ET races, and that we actually have within our genetic makeup superpowers of all kinds. And this is where we there's a divergence from what they're doing in Black Projects versus what you can do through your own development of your own capabilities and consciousness. And what's happening to the planet right now is a huge upswing, in which the powers of light are actually taking the forefront for the first time in probably the history of humanity on this planet. So to say there's a downside, well, yes, there has been, but it's actually rapidly changing. And as one might say, the darkest is right before the dawn. We are having sort of a new world order that's trying to take precedence on the planet right at this time, simply because we are having some huge changes in regard to the energetics that we're entering in the solar system at this time, the heating up of the various planets. It's not just happening to the Earth, it's happening to our whole solar system. As we move into alignment with the galactic center, as these energies of what is in essence a super wave of energy coming at our planet and at the solar system, and you can go to the work of Paul LaViolette, who is a very well-known and well-regarded scientist who we have interviewed on our website talking about the super wave. There is a great deal going on, and we have, as many people will know, we also have planets coming into our solar system. We have a release of information revealing the secret space program that has been unknown to most of humanity up to this time, except those participating in it. So to say it has been a dark time is true, but it is actually what Project Camelot is involved in. The fact that the truth is finally getting to humanity after all this time is actually a very joyful thing.
In your opinion then, Kerry, I mean, do you think a lot of people are switched off? And what's your hope for them? I mean, are you here to, obviously you're here to, you know, to spread your message and continue your work. But I mean, what if not that many people, you know, do switch on? I mean, what do you think is going to happen in 2012 as well? I mean, do you see people becoming more aware?
Well, I see it every day, but I understand that maybe other people don't so much. Certainly what's in the news is often lies and fabrications because the media has been bought and paid for by the Illuminati. So they are basically under their control. So not much gets out in the mainstream media, but the alternative media is alive and well, and there's a great deal of truth that does come through in that direction, and the internet is basically been our huge friend in this regard. Yes, surveillance has increased as a result of the internet, but on the other side, our freedoms to communicate and to reach globally really are unprecedented at this time. So as far as waking up people, yes, there are people coming, young people that are waking up in droves. We get letters all the time, people thanking us for completely changing their entire lives. The most amazing letters we get from people, and it's not just once in a while, it's every single day since we've been in operation. And so I think it's also obvious. I mean, if you listen to the media, if you watch even what's on television, certainly in Britain and in the USA, you can see the emphasis on revealing truth within the various TV shows and movies that are out there. It simply requires that you be discerning and that you pay attention, that you use the sixth senses and beyond to ascertain whether something is true or false, and intuit also, and also do what's basically triangulation, taking information from different directions and comparing and contrasting it. So, yes, I do think many, many people are waking up all the time. I think it's going to be increasing up to and beyond 2012. I don't see 2012 as an end date. I see it as a bridge into a new reality. I think that we are moving in that direction very rapidly right this moment. And I think, as I say, it's increasing all the time.
So, okay, would you say that 2012 is just a date not to get fixated on it?
Right. I mean, 2012 is a, well, first of all, you're naming a year, but, you know, I believe based on all the information that we have, there will be some very strong events that will happen even this year, end of 2011, in the fall. There is a number of things that could be transpiring. If you listen to my recent Project Camelot roundtable video conference with Richard Hoagland and many very sophisticated researchers like Andy Lloyd, who is English, who's written a number of books and one in particular called Dark Star, who had spent 10 years investigating Planet X, a.k.a. Nibiru, and has now turned to fiction, as a matter of fact, writing about the Anunnaki. And one might want to look at that and see why he has turned to fiction. I did an interview with him in the U.K. So, yes, in answer to your question, 2012 is just one more year in a trajectory in which you might call that something of a crescendo to an age. But I believe from there on, you know, there are going to be momentous changes all the time. I believe that we are entering a stage at which more and more of humanity is going to be waking up to the truth. They will not be deceived by some of the lies that they've been told and taught for their entire lives by things like the Bible. The Bible contains a lot of truth, but it contains a great deal of falsity as well. Religions have kept people down under the thumb of the Illuminati for many, many ages. These things are changing all the time.
But do you not think some religions are there as a sort of sense of community more than a sort of dictation?
Well, you know, there has been an aspect of community. In fact, there's an aspect to community in all of the institutions, whether they be, you know, the educational area or any other area, culturally, you name it. But the trouble is that religion was used as a yoke around humanity to keep them subdued, to keep them from thinking for themselves, to keep them from analyzing and understanding the truth of their surroundings, and for getting them to worship what were, in essence, very fallible alien race called the Anunnaki, who called themselves gods when, in fact, they were just as fallible as we are.
So what are some of your sort of spiritual views then?
In essence, what I believe is that originally we come from source, which is God source, however you want to look at that, that we're a strain of what's called angelic humans, that we have superhuman capabilities, that we've been dumbed down through the ages and kept in a sort of a prison planet situation, that we are all evolving as a result of that experience into self-realization and enlightenment, knowing truth and becoming and recognizing the truth of the oppression that you've been under is an important step towards enlightenment, and an important one that humanity is going through at this time that I'm helping to facilitate. And I believe we're ultimately all on the way to journey to the stars to help our fellow man and our fellow beings to evolve and to return back to Godhead, so to speak.
Okay, I mean, that's again, fascinating and incredible information there to sort of digest. And we, you know, I'd love to have the more, sort of more time to go into to some of those aspects. But I want to just go back a few steps as well, because regarding some of the sort of government secrets that are out there, I mean, as far as I've sort of, from the people that I've interviewed, you know, the UK holds a lot of secret underground bases. And what has your sources told you about some of the underground bases throughout the world? And, you know, Dulcie, for example, is one that I hear a lot mentioned.
Right. The Dulcie base is actually very notorious. Goes down many, many levels. We've got testimony from whistleblowers in that regard, certainly from Bob Dean and from Dan Burish, as well as John Lear. These are some of the whistleblowers that have referred to the underground bases. We also have contacts that get in touch with us for a time. I have a very deep black whistleblower who got in touch with me regarding some underground bases, not just Dulcie, but in the Texas and the New Mexico area. There are underground bases really lacing the United States and under China and under England and probably most of the countries of the world at this time. There's a huge underground network, if you will. We hear about underground bases in Norway, for example. We have an interview with a Norwegian whistleblower who contacted us in that regard on our website. And so it goes. You know, there are huge underground bases in Switzerland where they could take their entire population, being a small, you know, a sparsely populated country, into those bases in the event of some kind of a cataclysm-like scenario, and they do have plans for something of that nature. Some of those bases are established for preventing the end of humanity as a result of what might be incoming asteroids or planetary cataclysmic events as a result of other planets entering our solar system and other physical changes that might happen on the planet, earthquakes, and you name it. There's also the extremely volatile character of our sun at this time, things that have to do with CMEs that could hit the planet, that could decimate not only our electronics, but also, you know, kill people simply by being exposed to the radiation. Our atmosphere has been thinning, and there's a great deal of work that has been done in that regard by, for example, Clifford Carnicom, who I just interviewed on my radio show recently regarding chemtrails and so on. So, it's a huge grab bag of information, and we've been basically following all these leads whenever we can find them in this regard. And so underground bases, yes, that's a huge part of the secret space program and the hidden black projects, most of which operate in those underground bases.
Right, okay. And, just going back to what you were just saying there, I mean, there's been talk as well of a sort of, coronal mass ejection from the sun, causing perhaps the grids to go down temporarily. I suppose these secret underground bases, they have lots of uses.
Absolutely. And some of the uses have actually been modified and changed over time. In fact, one of my whistleblowers told me that they found recently that they actually hadn't dug them deep enough or fortified them properly, so that some of them are actually being remodeled at this time and fortified for what may be eventually a pole shift, a physical pole shift on our planet. So yes, I mean, obviously they're used for many different purposes.
Well, that's
there are high-speed trains, for example, going on underground that go can take people in the morning from Las Vegas, let's say, to Pine Gap in Australia.
That takes a bit to get your head around. That does. But this is what your information is telling you, and this is what your research has took you in to say something like that, hasn't it?
Exactly. We have lots of verification from many different sources of these things. I'm not just talking off the top of my head, so to speak.
No, absolutely not. And you were talking there very much about future Earth changes or not so future Earth changes. What do you see the state of Europe being then? I mean, that's obviously of interest to us.
Sure. There have been a number of changes. I mean, one thing that's worth understanding is that, first of all, the Illuminati and the military-industrial complex worldwide and various ET races that sort of are at odds with each other are conducting what in essence are weather wars at this time. And therefore they are using, as Tesla and as Wilhelm Reich did the groundbreaking investigations scientifically into these areas, at least as far as we know, humanity. But this technology has been known to various ET races for ages. But in essence, we have totally manipulated weather going on the planet at this time. We have earthquakes that are being purposely created, tsunamis, and so on, using scalar mechanics and weaponry. All of this is going on. So when you say what's going to happen in Europe, what's going to happen globally would be a good question. The trouble is, even if it wasn't going to be from a so-called natural occurrence, be that a CME, as you call it, from the sun, if, for example, they wanted to interfere with the CME aimed at Earth, various ET races do have the wherewithal to redirect that energies, and they have probably done so over the ages. And we also have some technology that's in our underground bases that apparently has also that capability. According to my interview with Valery Uvarov from Russia, we went to Russia and interviewed Valery Uvarov and also Indigo Child, who had past life recall name of Bariska a few years ago. At any rate, so to say what is going to happen, the trouble is that the Illuminati have a timeline, they have an agenda, and they are pursuing it. The Georgia Guidestones have engraved in stone some of their plans for humanity. One of those things is to eliminate a large degree of the population because they feel that we are overpopulating and destroying the planet, of course, and also because they're interested in certain bloodlines taking precedence here on the planet. But whether they're going to be successful or not is a whole other question, because what has happened is that humanity has begun to wake up. And so their plans have gone astray. They've been they've reached a lot of obstacles also as a result of humanity working with various ET races that are positively oriented and don't want to see humanity interfered with in this way. Yes, we may have some earth changes, but you may also find that those earth changes are purposely created, such as the BP oil spill that caused the Gulf Stream, the northern part of the Gulf Stream, to slow down and even to stop for a time. I'm not sure if it stopped at this time. I don't know if it started up again. I know it had stopped sometime after that very significant accident, which I'm told was caused by a nuke that was planted under BP, the oil rig out there. And I had a lot of different whistleblower testimony in this regard. There's something going on under the Gulf. There are a number of ET bases for one thing, but there is also a rising seafloor. There is they're utilizing that situation to vacate certain areas of the Gulf states, to get people to move inland. I don't know all that's happening. I do know that some psychics are seeing, including myself, are seeing the rising of the seafloor, bringing to the fore ruins from Atlantis that the powers that be don't want people to know about. Secrecy is the name of the game. It has been the name of the game for ages, and it continues to be. So if you see them doing something, it often has to do with them covering up something else.
Would you be surprised, though, if some of the changes that we've been talking about today, especially these sort of major Earth changes, and even, you know, the sort of loose 2012 talk that we've had, would you be surprised if it was these sort of changes were much subtle, much more gentler, you know, a bit like the Y2K thing? It never happened. It could have. Yet, would you be shocked?
Personally, no. Because I pretty much keep an open mind on all levels. So I try to just sort of watch and listen and see what I intuit. There are different timelines operational, and so some of the things that people see, especially psychics and so on, are being fed not only misinformation and mind control, but there are also things that will occur to stop and to mitigate the changes, as you say. So as a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised at all if some of the changes were not as severe as people are predicting they will be. In fact, I'm working for that every day, because I'm trying to raise consciousness. And in raising consciousness, a lot of the physical changes that we know and understand are happening because they are aimed at waking up humanity. If humanity wakes up, there will be no need for the jarring kinds of physical changes that may be in the pipeline. We are creating our reality. We are co-creating this reality as we go. And the Illuminati and all the different ET races are very well aware of this, so that it's not a one-way street. We are not simply victims in this scenario. We are very, very active agents, and so we can help change and mitigate those changes if we desire to do so, enough of us.
And you've mentioned a couple of times that you're I would call it sensitive or psychic. So are you psychic?
Well, my view of that is that everyone is psychic. It's just a matter of whether you've developed your sort of abilities in that area, and yes, in essence, I have worked in that area to develop my abilities, and they operate very well. I've had verification numerous times, seeing the future, and sometimes I see it as sort of a film strip, and it does play out exactly as I've seen it. In other cases, it doesn't. In other cases, I'm still waiting to see whether or not something I've been shown will actually transpire in this timeline. But if you meditate, if you keep live a clean life, you know, for lack of a better word, this all helps to keep your chakras clear and also allows you to link up with your higher self and to tap into the universal mind, if you will, and get information.
And do you ever question a lot of what you believe? I mean, do you ever not question your faith as such, but you know, just question the process that you have to go through to get there?
One of the reasons I'm very good at being an interviewer, I think, is because I question everything all the time. And I actually came into this incarnation doing so. So I like questioning. I don't take anything for granted. At this time, I have reached, you might say, some fairly solid conclusions about reality as we know it. Or as most people don't know it, but I'm always open to revising that based on new information. And I think, you know, the bottom line is to keep an open mind. I was very lucky in that I didn't have parents that sort of drilled the Bible into me or any other kind of religious upbringing. I had a very open upbringing, and so I didn't have, I guess, a very solid hard and fast belief structure that I was told that I must believe in or else. So it hasn't been a problem for me to keep an open mind and to investigate and push the envelope, as it were.
Like you say, your questioning and your the way you approach your interviews is a gift, isn't it?
I guess you could call it a gift. I mean, yes. I mean, I feel that. You know, I feel I'm on a mission here on the planet. I feel I came in with a mission. It does suit my personality to conduct interviews the way I do. I do get a lot of flack for it. A lot of people aren't used to it. They don't like it. They find it offensive. They're, you know, all kinds of things. But I have to say that the whistleblowers that I interview, almost without exception, do like it and do resonate with it. So it's a very interesting dynamic that happens during an interview. It's really a magical process, I would say.
Absolutely. And I know we're getting to the top of the hour here, but one of the questions I wanted to ask as well is, you referred a lot to the Illuminati, and we've explained what that is for the audience, but where do the Freemasons fit into all this then?
Well, many of the Illuminati are Freemasons. Many of them are Masons, but the Freemason heritage is very convoluted at this time, and that probably would take a radio show to go into.
Yeah.
But basically, you could go back to the Crusades and before, and it has to do with bloodlines. It has to do with taking an oath and. And unfortunately, you know, there's a dark side of Freemasonry and a light side, I'm sure, of Freemasonry. But I think by and large, you could also say that the if anyone out there has studied the occult, you will know what I'm talking about, in that they are studying the same laws and hidden knowledge, regardless of what they call themselves.
Yeah.
And then it's really what you do with it and how you approach it from there on.
Yes, because
as to where you fall in the spectrum.
Absolutely, because you mentioned Zachariah Sitchin, and there was sort of talk out there that he was a Freemason as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, a lot of people come from maybe bloodlines that involve members of the Freemasons. Also, may have current members. Certainly, the military is packed full of Freemasons. That, again, doesn't mean they're good or bad. It simply means that they're part of a group. Some of them are even aware of it, and some are not. Some are on lower levels, have taken all kinds of oaths. Some are very black magicians. It really runs the gamut, I'm sure.
Okay. And your website, where people can get in contact with yourself and listen to a lot of these interviews and watch them online as well.
Okay, it's projectcamelot.org. We also have projectcamelot.tv, where you can see a lot of our recent video conferences that we do charge money for. 99% of our information on Camelot is free and has remained free throughout the years, and I continue to do free one-on-one interviews as well as a radio show. But to augment our income, we do at this time do events such as the Awaken Aware Conference that will happen on the 23rd, 24th, and 25th of September. And if you can go to awakeandaware2011.com and see more about the speakers, really amazing speakers, and to have everyone in one place at one time over a weekend is just, I can't tell you how amazing and magical that experience can be. We put on a conference in 2009, and people are still talking about it today. We will be live streaming it over the web for the people that are too far away to attend in person. And I really encourage you all to participate. It's going to be a consciousness event. It's going to be very, very crucial for the days ahead. Richard Hoagland and many others will be bringing forward very important, timely information that will help you deal with probably the next few years.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for joining us, and we're going to put all those links on our website, so thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
To find out more information on Carrie Cassidy, go to my website, themoreshow.co.uk, and look up Carrie Cassidy under Past Guests. Now, you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter to get the latest updates on the shows. And we have a TV show which starts at 6 p.m. on Sky 201 and Freesat 403 every Friday, so don't miss it. So until next time, thanks for listening.
If you like what you watch, then don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter for the latest updates on The More Show. Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel for new weekly television and radio shows.